Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get right into today's story. The title of today's show is Temporary Comfort, The Abuse. The program today is a conclusion to what transpired on last week's show, which focused on Courtney's heritage but ended with Fred introducing her to his own culture, growing up on the south side of Chicago. Courtney had been at Fred's condo all evening and was getting ready to return to her home when Fred began to choke on some pizza that he was eating. Courtney wanted to tell Fred how much she appreciated him being in her life, but she didn't get that chance because of his discomfort. He ended up being okay, but Courtney left without finishing up what she really wanted to say to him. Eventually, Fred's throat did clear up after drinking lots of water. What Courtney wanted to talk about most to Fred was her husband Gates and their marriage. She had hoped to tell him some of that before she left his condo, but she ended up not talking to him again until the next morning when she gave him a call. She told him that she'd like to see him again and discuss more details about the state of her marriage. Fred told her that certainly she was welcome to come again. He said to her, "Yes, Courtney, of course you can come over, and I'll be here at home this evening. And don't worry, this time I'll make sure I don't choke." He made fun of his episode with the pizza in his throat the previous night when he made that statement. Well, later that day, Courtney did make her way back to Fred's condo. This time, the weather wasn't as good as it had been the day before. In fact, it started to rain, and it kept on raining from the time she left her apartment to the time she arrived at Fred's place. But that was only the beginning. It would turn out to be quite a stormy evening. Once Courtney arrived, Fred took her inside, then proceeded this time only as far as the screened enclosure in the back of his condo. It was well protected from the wind and rain outside. As they took their seats, the full expanse of the ocean was still in view, just as it had been the previous day when they were out on the deck. This time, however, the ocean waves violently struck the shore because of all the wind and rain. Yes, the sound of the roaring ocean waves was still apparent to them, although the persistent rain and the occasional thunder were also quite evident on this stormy evening. Just as the enclosure protected them from the storm outside, both Fred and Courtney could only hope that they would be protected somehow from the storms in their personal lives with the ones they loved. Courtney continued to tell Fred more of the details of her first encounter with Gates. As Courtney began to talk to Fred, she mentioned the time when they first met about 3 years ago. "You know, Fred, I was practically attracted to my husband the moment I first met him. I considered him a brute of a man, with his shaved head and heavy mustache." She giggled as she continued to describe her husband to Fred. Courtney's physical description of Gates immediately got Fred's attention, That led him to think about the confrontation that Maggie's husband had with the security officer back at the Village Hotel. Fred said, "Courtney, I believe that the man who confronted Maggie's husband, John, that day I was talking to you about earlier, was your husband." "Yeah, he was a security officer. And he fits the same description that you've just given me, with that bald head and mustache." "Yes, he was probably that person," Courtney confessed. Then she continued to say, "3 years ago when we got married was about the time when he gained a share of the ownership of that hotel. But he only started to make himself visible among patrons later about the time you were staying there. So, yes, Fred, it was probably Gates that you saw that night," Courtney said. Fred then went to the kitchen and got some snacks for them to munch on. After returning with some popcorn and soft drink, he could hear the thunder and the rain raging outside. Then Courtney said to Fred, all while she was munching on that popcorn, "You know, Fred, one event that I attended with him I remember more than the others, before we were married. This was the time when Gates took a night off from his administrative duties as part owner of the hotel, so that he could take me to see a female buddy of his, named Sherry, sing in the hotel lounge. Gates explained to me that they were only drinking buddies, and nothing more than that. Gates made it clear that I was the most special lady to him. And the night before we went to see that female buddy of his sing, he proved it. Let me tell you what happened. Gates drove to this very nice restaurant and he proposed to me. Yeah, he asked me to marry him. I'm sorry if I get emotional, Fred, but it was so beautiful. I mean, candlelight, romantic music, and the whole bit. Then he said that he had made arrangements to take me to this singing the next evening at the hotel where he worked. He said he would pick me up from my apartment and go to the hotel lounge. He called it the Kitty Cat. So he did come to get me, and we went to the hotel. But this time he became a part of the paying audience, hoping to see a good show. So that's where they ended up, Gates and Courtney, at the Kitty Cat, to see his buddy Sherry perform. And perform she did, with an assortment of melodies. But one of the songs she sang, Courtney would always remember because she was so much in love at the time. And most importantly, it reminded her of what happened the night before when Gates proposed to her. Yes, the night before that event at the Kitty Cat was one of those nights. The song summarized Courtney's feelings at the time toward her man, her newfound love, Gates Manley.
In his said I sat down and had a talk with my man last night. He filled my heart with pure delight. He told me that he needed me more than words could ever say. And then he went on to prove it in such a sweet, sweet way. He said never again, lonely will you be. And that's when he asked to marry me. I began to cry. He kissed the tears from my weeping eyes. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
As Courtney remembered that selection, it brought tears to her eyes right there as she talked with Fred, as it did then, at the Kitty Cat Lounge. She commented to him about both the singing event she and Gates attended and the night before when he proposed to her. Shortly after that, they were married, and they were married, by the way, in a very elaborate ceremony on Waikiki Beach. Things went well for the first 2 or 3 months of their marriage, or thereabouts. Then the relationship took a turn for the worst. Let's take a break, and we'll be back to talk about that in a minute.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written 3 books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary, and in some cases, even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written 3 books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. After telling Fred about the happy first few weeks of her marriage, then Courtney got to the bad part. About 2 months into the marriage, things quickly escalated into one of both physical and mental abuse. Courtney described to Fred, as the storm continued to rage outside, that she was subjected to his every whim, whether it was sexual deviance or mind control. In large measure, given her former lifestyle of dancing around poles, among other things, she enjoyed the occasional pleasures that were available to her at the time, more than she desired to escape from his control. And to make matters worse, Courtney had hoped to one day have children, but Gates resisted that prospect because he loved the independence and the freedom that came with his lifestyle. Worst of all, Gates was an atheist and had no spiritual awareness whatsoever. He did not believe that God existed. He thought success was due to personal ingenuity and skill through the natural process of evolution. He tried his best to indoctrinate Courtney into his point of view. He would often ask her, "Where is God with all the problems we have in the world? The murders, the rapes, the general disregard for human life. Where is he? Where is your God? You tell me," Gates admonished Courtney to do as she continued to describe his actions. Gates rationalized that even in the church, so-called Christians, as he called them, were not as sincere in their faith as they pretend to be. Courtney's husband only considered the physical world, material things that we can see, feel, hear, touch, and smell, the five physical senses. If it feels good, do it. That was Gates' motto. It wasn't long before Courtney was ready to leave Fred's condo to return home. But before she left, she invited him to come and hear the same female vocalist that she had heard with Gates that night, almost 3 years ago, during happier times in their marriage. Yes, Sherry would appear there again after all this time. Sherry had relocated to L.A. a short time after Courtney and Gates heard her for the first time at the Kitty Cat. And Gates had told Courtney about her return to the hotel to perform a few days earlier. So now she was back. The next day on Sunday evening, Fred took Courtney up on her invitation to hear her husband's buddy sing and made the trip to the hotel. So, when Fred arrived there, he was directed to the Kitty Cat Lounge. He took his seat, ordered a drink, and then relaxed as he waited for the singer who headlined the night's event to appear. Courtney had told Fred where she and Gates would be seated. So Fred made sure that he sat in a section of the lounge far away from them. Eventually, Sherry appeared on stage and began to sing. But it wasn't jazz or some other current popular tune. It was gospel. That's right. She began to sing gospel songs. It certainly wasn't what patrons was expecting to hear. She surprised everyone, including Courtney's husband, Gates. Then she announced that she had become a minister and that she wanted her performance there to be a dedication to her faith. Her faith? Gates asked himself as he sat there in disbelief. You see, he knew the kind of person she was before. Sherry's lifestyle then was more like the way Gates' life is now, toward Courtney, often one of abuse. That is to say, he still loved to party and had a focus on the material things of life, as well as not treating his wife right. So now, she's into religion? A Jesus freak? Gates continued to ask himself in mockery of his buddy's newfound belief. The term Jesus freak, by the way, was often used by those who mocked this kind of change in lifestyle. A lifestyle from one only concerned with the secular world to someone supposedly converted to religion, that is, Christianity. One tune that Sherry sung that really stood out was a remake of a song she did on the same stage almost 3 years ago, during happier times of Courtney and Gates' marriage, the time when they first saw her. But make no mistake, the song wasn't about a change to a religion. For Sherry, it was about a genuine relationship that she had developed, a relationship with the one she now realized mattered most.
whenever I
The song certainly resonated with Fred and Courtney, who were sitting on opposite sides of the lounge, but most of all, it had a tremendous effect on Gates. "What's the deal?" he must have asked himself the question. "What's come over her? She's now a minister, singing gospel." Needless to say, Gates was puzzled, and it would take a period of time for him to reflect on what it meant. As for Fred, he was pleasantly surprised because he had not heard gospel since he left Chicago. He knew of the song, at least the secular version, because he heard it often while growing up as a kid. "But now a gospel song?" he asked himself. Shortly after she sang that song, Fred left before her closing selection. He was intent on not seeing Courtney's husband, and more importantly, he didn't want Gates to see him. Be that as it may, Fred was exposed to something positive. Unlike the sad stories of Courtney's history that she told him over the previous weekend, or his own negative memories of Maggie and her marriage to John, for that matter. If nothing else, as he began another week of work, he could appreciate the help that he may have given his friend Courtney just by being willing to listen to her concerns. Concerns about her marriage, as well as her heritage. But Courtney also helped Fred, whether she realized it or not, through her atheist husband, no less. Yes, Gates introduced Fred, indirectly, to someone who reminded him, through a song, that all he needs to effectively deal with his many issues is to have a talk with God. Yes, that's what Sherry did. She had a talk with God that night. Well, that's something Gates, the atheist, will have to wrestle with for a while. Well, that's all for now. We'll see you next time. And remember, there's always more. More good things coming your way.
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the lives of ordinary people. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.